Hello, good morning. So a speech by Sinn Féin President Gerry Adams has added to the political uncertainty around the future of Stormont. He said that the First Minister's refusal to step aside during any investigation was not good enough and said that the future of the political institutions are at a defining point. Speaking on Saturday, he criticised the DUP for their attitude to the party at Stormont, saying Sinn Féin faced deliberate provocation, arrogance and disrespect.
The scandal around the RHI is a scandal created by the DUP. It has been made worse by the DUP. It's not an orange issue. It's not a green issue. It's a question of good governance, or in this case, bad governance.
And he went further, warning that Sinn Féin were willing to bring things to a head.
The DUP leader has thus far refused to stand aside without prejudice, pending a preliminary report by an independent investigation to the RHI scandal. She repeated that refusal yesterday. That's not good enough. Arlene Foster has been a First Minister for almost a year. Martin McGuinness has proven his ability to work with the leaders of unionism. But this can only be on the basis of partnership and equality. And Martin told the First Minister this in a frank conversation on Wednesday. Arlene Foster is not a Prime Minister. She is a co-equal partner in the Office of First and Deputy First Minister. She can continue in that office, but only for as long as Sinn Féin allows this. Sinn Féin have been very clear in what we have been saying. Our record is there for all to see. If the First Minister does not take the actions that society desires and deserves, and which a sustainable process of change requires, then Sinn Féin will bring this ongoing and totally unacceptable state of affairs to an end.
Arlene Foster at the weekend again rejected calls for her to stand aside. So is there any room left for manoeuvre, or are we looking at a fresh election? 030 30 80 55 55. Joining me now is the UUP leader Mike Nesbitt and the SDLP's Claire Hannah. Good morning to you both.
Good morning.
Morning.
So Mike, as Gerry says, First Minister can continue as long as Sinn Féin allows it.
Well, that's the fundamental guarantee that's at the core of power sharing that was designed in 1998, and nobody's tried to change it in any serious way since. I think the problem then is what you're hearing over the weekend shows that we're going way beyond the debacle, as Mrs. Foster called it, of the renewable heat incentive scheme. And we're coming to the fundamental that after 10 years of the DUP and Sinn Féin, at the heart of our executive government, it is clear that they cannot work together. So if we're going to have an election, I say to people who vote, and I say to the 45% who didn't turn out in May of last year, here is an opportunity for change. You know, you can have change, you can have more of the same, more of 10 years characterised by scandals, debacles and disappointments.
Claire Hannah, the calls for a fresh election have been dampened a little bit over the last few days. I'm not sure that the appetite is really there among the other parties at Stormont.
Well, look, you know, if we're having an election, have an election. We're not afraid of an election. But what would it solve, Vinnie? It wouldn't solve anything. And in fact, it would leave us a couple of months down the line with no answers on renewable heat if we don't get a proper public inquiry in place. It would very possibly leave us with Arlene still in place and that problem to deal with. And the fact is, we don't have a budget in place at the moment. You know, this is a very serious situation, but so is the fact that Theresa May has just pretty much confirmed that the UK has gone out of the single market. And instead of our First Ministers really putting their best brain cells together and coming up with a plan, they're at loggerheads. Instead of our Economy Minister figuring out how the heck we're going to get out of this situation, he's busy scrambling to find papers to cover up for his boss. So, you know, an election won't solve anything. It'll kick the can further down the road and it'll exasperate those other problems. But as Mike said, you know, DUP and Sinn Féin are there at the will of the electorate. I don't particularly like that situation, and people do need to maybe, as Mike said, learn the lesson that they've tried to, particularly since May, imply that all the problems in government were the now opposition parties. These two parties fundamentally cannot work together. Fresh Start was clearly a sham. And
you claim this is almost playing out like a soap opera. So obviously those calls of a so-called sham fight between the two parties are still there.
Well, this is the thing, and we understand this is a very difficult situation, and I think fundamentally at the heart of it is Arlene Foster's arrogance and failure to understand that, you know, there's a bigger issue at stake than just her pride and the failure to stand down. And indeed, Sinn Féin let her off the hook in December by not voting for the motion. But it is playing out like a soap opera with, you know, clear-the-air talks and sort of confessional sessions in the media and Team Jonathan and Team Arlene. And the fact is, there's a problem to be solved here. Get in a room and solve it. Put your proposals out for the inquiry and let those of us who have suggestions amend them.
Okay.
Put your plans out for cost recovery. Don't squabble over who gets the credit for it. Put them out there and let us see if there's anything in it.
Mike, Arlene writing in the Belfast Telegraph today saying that she can't accept a full public inquiry. So surely there's a bit of movement there. But she is also still insisting that she's not going to step aside. She is going nowhere.
Yeah, and that's, you know, do as we say, not as we do. But, of course, you know, Peter Robinson stepped aside in not entirely dissimilar circumstances previously. But the bottom line is, of course, she is dug in terms of saying there is no way she is stepping aside. Gerry Adams is digging in terms of saying there is no way forward unless she does. But what Mrs. Foster is doing is more deflection, because having failed to try and deflect by making it about sexism and misogyny rather than about incompetence in government, she's now trying to make it about unionism, and that will play with a section of unionism. I understand that. I'm not naive enough not to understand what they're doing there. But it just further brings the institutions and devolution into disrepute, because what we have is potentially the biggest financial scandal in
Can either side actually stand? Will they be able to save face in terms of the standoff, in terms of who will blink first? Arlene Foster described in the Impartial Reporter as saying Sinn Féin playing a game of chicken.
Well, yeah, because what she's trying to do is focus her voters, prepare them for an election, and try to say to them, look, I am a strong unionist leader. I am standing up to republicanism. And then that becomes the issue, and the renewable heat incentive scandal gets lost in the smoke. And, you know, that's the sort of tactics that the DUP deploy. But you cannot get away from the fact, or we will not deflect from the fact, that this is the biggest scandal to have faced devolution, possibly the biggest financial scandal in 100 years. You know, when Simon Hamilton is going on the radio and into the media and saying, oh, we're working hard to try and fix this. But the fact is, 6 months ago, on the 5th of July of last year, the Northern Ireland Audit Office refused to fully approve the accounts of his department, and the reason was the renewable heat incentive. And I can actually give you a quote from Simon from just after the 5th of July last, when he said, we are already actively considering options as to how the costs of this scheme could be controlled in the future. 6 months later, he still hasn't put a...
So is it bluff? What are they doing then, Mike? What do you think?
Yeah, but 6 months later, he hasn't put a proposal on the table. And this is the man who said he had saved the United Airlines flight to Newark. And as we know, that flight is about to land for the last time at Belfast International Airport.
Well, we have asked the DUP. We have asked the DUP and Sinn Féin to come on the programme this morning. We're still waiting to hear. Claire, in terms of the major issues aside from this that Stormont has to deal with, how to deal with Brexit, health plans, etc., how much of a distraction is this from those issues that many would see as of very high importance?
Well, yeah, it's fundamentally a distraction. The fact that, I mean, this has been going on for a good month now, and that's kind of what I meant by soap opera, because as we've said, they've known about this for a very long time. They've known about this for, really, best case scenario, if you give them the benefit of the doubt, they've known about the size of the financial hole for well over half a year. So, you know, what we're seeing now is their response to the public response, and that's what makes it a little bit false and posturing. But it's a huge distraction. I mean, Brexit is a fundamental challenge, and actually half a billion lost in RHI will be dwarfed, really, but by some of the impacts and the fact that if we have a border across this island, it reverses a lot of political and social progress, but it's disastrous economically, and we need to negotiate a better position. We feel special status for Northern Ireland, but nobody is in the driving seat there. So it's a big distraction, and like I say, we don't even have a budget in place. We were supposed to have a budget presented to the Assembly before Christmas. Christmas, and there's no word on that. And if relationships are as bad as the two government parties are implying, we can't even have confidence that that work is going on behind the scenes.
Mike Nesbitt, do you feel like there's a huge appetite from the public to talk about this? We get a bit of a mixture of calls. I would say three quarters are interested, they want to participate, and there's maybe a quarter who we, of course, do let on air who say, look, I'm sick of hearing about this. And then we have some calls from certain people within certain parties saying that there's a lot of media hype around this, in that to an extent the media are making this a bigger story than it actually is.
Oh, I think it's an enormous story, and I think it is different from previous scandals like Red Sky, NAMA, and the Social Investment Fund, because people understand this. They instinctively get it, that this is burning money for no good reason. And so everybody gets it, and everybody is, of course, angry about it, because, you know, we all have relatives, we all have mothers, sometimes grandmothers, and we know of people who are going through winters with that dilemma, or do we eat or do we heat? We know money's short. That's also the kind of ultimate obscenity of the DUP and Sinn Féin blaming everything on Tory cuts and on austerity, when it turns out that they are potentially wasting up to £500 million. And who knows, Vinnie, if it won't become more, because, of course, there's £660 million, which was given to us by the Exchequer. That's what the scheme should have cost. But if it turns out that there's a significant amount of corruption going on, and that heat is being burnt and not for useful purposes, then the European Union could step in and say this is a breach of state aid rules. And where that would go would be nowhere pretty in terms of our finances.
Mike, say there for a second. Jim Wilson, the community worker, has contacted us. He's got a question for you. Jim, good morning.
Good morning.
Go ahead, Jim.
Yeah, I'm just a bit perturbed. You know, I'm very disappointed in Mike over the last sort of 6 weeks or so, where he's came on, he's been attacking Charter, and he's been attacking the First Minister. But my question basically is to Mike Nesbitt, tell me, Mike, what is the difference of an inquiry with the First Minister there or without her being there? I can't understand in the last 4 or 5 weeks the calls for the inquiries. I understand all that, no problems whatsoever. But tell me what the difference is if the First Minister is there or isn't there, because is this about a scalp, or is this about a system that they want because they want to be able to claim the scalp of someone? Explain to me what the difference is if there's a judicial inquiry or a non-judicial inquiry. If the First Minister is sitting in a position, or she's not sitting in a position, do they believe it's just going to interfere, which is
okay, let's let him respond
illegal
to that. Mike Nesbitt, go ahead.
I don't want to interrupt Jim here. Jim, if you've been following me, you'll already know the answer, but for the avoidance of doubt, there are two issues at play here. One is the question of what happened and who was responsible for it in terms of the renewable heat incentive, and that's why we need some sort of inquiry. We favour a public inquiry. But the second thing that's at play here is public confidence in the integrity of our institutions, and it is for the latter that I think that the only honourable leadership role that Arlene Foster can perform is to step down, because people are looking at the institutions and they've seen examples in the relatively recent past where political parties have formed the wagons into a circle to protect their own people in their parties who happen to be executive ministers of the day, rather than allow a full inquiry. So you've got
the two
things.
There hasn't been public confidence in the institutions for a long, long while, in reference to a lot of things. It doesn't mean to say every issue that comes up that people are asking for people to step down. I think it's sometimes ludicrous, especially yourself being a leader of unionism, to be in the same camp of what Republicans are doing after what's happened in this country over the last amount of years. I just can't get my head around the public. I'm the public. I'm the public. You know, no one has asked me, and I don't know of any surveys that have went on out there. And this is very easy for someone like yourself or anyone to say, the public confidence, the public confidence. There's been a lot of...
Well, to be fair, Jim, to Mike, a lot of the other parties are calling for the same thing. You know, it's not just Mike Nesbitt and the UUP.
No, but I'm disappointed in Mike because I'm a unionist. And that's why I'm saying this here, because it's not only this. Mike was on about the charter issues as well and about stuff in and around that. But Mike did not come on and attack Sinn Féin and the number of people within the Republican community and members who are ex-members of the IRA who were getting money from 4.8 million in West Belfast for the...
Let's let Mike respond to you, Jim. Jim, just a second, please. You let me share the programme, please. Jim, we've let you on. You put a lot of points on Mike. Let him reply to it. Mike, go ahead.
I've only one thing to say to Jim. Jim, you appear to judge everything through an orange and a green prism. Sometimes it's important to judge things as to whether they are right or whether they are wrong.
Yes, and is it right that a section of the unionist stroke loyalist community gets attacked constantly whenever you're given examples? You were given examples of the nationalist community getting 4.8 million of the SIF fund. Did you ask questions of the people who had...
Okay, Jim, we're talking about something completely different this morning. Jim Wilson, thank you very much. Mike Nesbitt, leader of the UUP, thank you very much as well for your time this morning.